You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
So for those who don't know me, I'm Tawny. I'm one of the teachers here at Real Church. Tawny Burgess, my full name. Thank you, David. And I just want to give a big thanks to Pastor Nathan for allowing me to teach. I'm so thankful that I get to be a part of a church that allows us to use our giftings and to be able to do what God's calling us to do. Even when it's scary, even when it's uncomfortable, we really support each other. We really love each other, and we really want God to just shine and be glorified. And so thank you guys. So I'm going to be talking about prayer, as you guys might have already heard. This is our second value. And before I get into our value of prayer, I want to explain the why again, because I think it's really important that we always go back to why we are doing what we're doing. And Nick did an amazing job introing this series. He really did. And so a lot of what I'm going to say is just repeating what he said, honestly. And then even Pastor Nathan last week went into it as well of why we are doing this. And I think it's just important that we continue to explain why we are studying our values. And the why is because we have a mission. God gave us a mission for a Real Church. And if you can put up the mission, please. Our mission is we exist to point people to Christ and to train them to live out their individual and corporate callings by being real with ourselves, others, and God. It's kind of a lofty mission, and we need God to do this mission. And part of our values helps us explain how we do real, how we actually do the being real with ourselves, others, and God. Because as Nick had said, we can be real by kind of being jerks. When you make that statement like, oh, I'm just being real, I'm just being honest. And that's not loving. And that is not glorifying to God. And so part of these values is kind of giving us a framework of how we actually do real. Kind of check ourselves. When we start to kind of get selfish and we kind of use this mission and this vision as kind of a weapon instead of building our church and glorifying God, we kind of take like being real and like, well, I'm just being real. And you start attacking people and you kind of protect yourself. And that's not what we're doing. So really these values kind of protect one another and kind of keep us on the same mission. So if you can also put up the slide of all of our values. So we're going to be going through these in the next, you know, month and a half now, I think. I'm not sure. And what I love is these are values that defined my 2018 year. Part of my role at Real Church was figuring out what God was doing. What were the values? We already had values as a church, and it was time where it was, okay, let's reflect on our values. Let's see what God's doing in our church. So Pastor Nathan tasked me to pray and to figure out what was happening. And so 2018 Monday nights, for, I don't know, 6 months, maybe even longer, it felt like 10 years to me, was going to God constantly and saying, okay, God, what are you doing in our church? What are the values of Real Church? Because each church has their own set of values, and they're all good, and they all glorify God. But what is he specifically doing in our church? And so these were the values. It was love, it was prayer, it was grace, freedom, generosity, community, honor, simplicity, and train. And prayer was an obvious one to me. There was no doubt that prayer is a value of ours. We talk about praying all the time. We cover everything we do in prayer. So to me, it was, okay, well, it's obviously going to be prayer. And then I was really excited because then God's like, you're going to be teaching on prayer. And I'm like, cool. All right. Like, I spent a year with this intimately. And I was like, what am I going to talk about? There's so many things to talk about. Like, I could share for hours. God's like, you're not going to do that. Do not do that to them. So I promise I will not do that to you guys. But what I love about these values is this is the potential. We're not 100% there. And that's okay. What I love about it is it forces us to kind of look at ourselves, be real with ourselves, right? Be real with others, be real with God, and go, are we actually a loving church? Are we actually a church that prays? Do we pray on Sunday only, or do we pray throughout the week? And what I love is we look at this and we think, all right, well, obviously I can't do all these things. This is a lot. This is overwhelming. God's saying, you don't have to. I'm doing it. I'm God and I'm doing it. You just need to respond to what I'm already doing in your church. So remove that pressure to be perfect, because we know God's perfect. We're not perfect. So remove that pressure, but also look at it as this is like the potential that you could be. It's exciting. Think about in a year from now, you can look back and go, oh man, I now have so much more grace. Oh wow, I'm actually really understanding what it means to live in freedom. Oh wow, this is a hard thing I'm dealing with, and I respond in prayer. Instead of trying to figure it out on my own, I immediately go, God help me, I don't know what I'm doing. Like that to me is why I'm so excited about this series, because it helps us to ask God for help in everything. And it reminds us that we're not in control, God's in control, and we get to just have fun and live in this and be excited about this. And I, for one, love simplicity because I complicate everything and I like need that one. Pastor Nathan knows I complicate everything. So simplicity is good. Yes, Matt, exactly. So all I did was write them down. That's all I did. I didn't come up with these. This is not about me. I'm not an expert in this. It was God saying, write this down so we could point to it consistently. That's all we need to help each other keep accountable and just to see what God's doing. Because these are beautiful things that he's working in our church. And I think it's amazing that we get to be a part of it. Something else that God had me go through this week specifically was see how all of these are actually connected. So, and they all depend on one another. Like the character of God, these are attributes that cannot be separated from one another. So I'm going to take us into a quick theology lesson. So pretend we're all now in seminary. Okay? I'm having flashbacks. Pretend you're in seminary and you walked into Theology 101. One of the first things you learn about are attributes of God. And all attributes are is just a description of what God is like. Obviously, we will never fully know what God is like because we are human, and that's okay. But these are some attributes that help us understand who he is, help us understand how to worship him. And most of these, he's revealed. If you read through scripture, this is where we're getting it. This is where we're pulling these attributes from, is that it's actually who God is. And so I'm going to use these right here. These are beautiful markers. So pretend these are puzzle pieces, okay? To understand God, some people have done this, where they go, okay, God is holy, God is love, and God is infinite. I'm going to put these puzzle pieces together, and then this is God. The problem with that is that you then separate them, and you don't get the image of God. That's not who God is. God is like one puzzle piece, and you see all of who God is. So this piece of love is also eternal, it's infinite, and it's holy, and it's love. Same thing as this infinite piece is also loving, and it's also eternal, and it's also holy. It's all of it. God is all in one piece, which is hard for us to understand because we like to separate God, because we do that ourselves. One day I'll be generous, the next day I'm a jerk. Like, that's not how God is. God is constant. God is always loving, he's always holy, he's always eternal. He's one piece. And I was meditating on that, going, wow, I forgot about that. I forgot about that. That's who you are, Lord. And then he said, well, look at the values. You guys can actually be all of these things. That our love can be generous, our prayers can be with grace, our community can have freedom, our training can be simple. We don't have to be all the things. This is not what I'm saying, this is not what God's saying. But what he's saying to me is that there is something unifying in these values, and there's something that honors God and that reflects the character of God. And we get to just be a part of it, and we get to do it with him. So End of theology 101. Did you guys make it okay? Do you guys kind of follow? If not, that's okay. I'm here, you know, all the time. So if you guys want to talk about theology, chat with me. And I'm not the only one. There are many other people in this church who love theology, so talk with them as well. So let's now actually talk about our second value, which is prayer. Surprise. Let's throw up the value statement, and let's break it down. Oh, this value statement. I know it intimately. So the value statement says, we pray about everything because it is essential to everything we do. We strive to fully submit and rely on the Holy Spirit through prayer to guide, heal, unify, and transform the church and our lives for God's glory. Each word in this sentence is important. And honestly, I believe that I don't understand any of it now. That I feel like over time, God's going to redefine what this means. Individually, for me, for you, as the church grows and we understand God even more, we're going to look at this and go, oh, wow, we had no idea what we were talking about before. This is what this word means. This is what strive means. This is what submitting means. This is what relying on God means. So the first part of it I'm going to talk about, we pray about everything. If you've been at our church long enough, you might have heard the question, did you pray about it? And we're not being jerks about it. Like, we really are asking you, did you pray about it? Because we've learned that you have to pray about everything. And you have to rely on God for everything. It makes it so much easier. Life is really hard. And having a God who cares, why wouldn't you ask him? Why, if he's really sovereign, if he really is in control of everything, if he really is all-knowing, why do we try to ignore him and avoid him and try to do it ourselves? You know, if you really think about that, it's silly. It's foolish. He's the expert. Go ask the expert. And he's not only an expert where he's going to go, oh, you're so dumb. How do you not know that? That's not how God is. As I said, God's loving. God's just like, oh, my child, I love you. Thank you. Here, let me show you the way. Let me teach you. Spend time with me. Rely on me. So we always ask the question, did you pray about it? And one of the verses we've used is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It is, pray without ceasing. If you want to memorize scripture, start with that one. It's three words. It's super, super easy. This verse is found in a letter from Paul, and this is at the end of the letter, and he's writing out all this advice, all this wisdom. It's just a laundry list of good things to take away. So I recommend throughout this week to take out 1 Thessalonians 5 and just read through that chapter. There's great wisdom in there. But in the middle of all that wisdom, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And for me, visually speaking, I find that so beautiful is having it in the middle. Is that he's saying all these important things and he's saying all these important things. And then pray without ceasing's in the middle. And to me, it's like a glue. It's like holding everything together. He's giving you all this solid advice, all these things to do, all these ways to be a follower of Christ. And in the middle, it's pray without ceasing. To me, it's like, yes, pray without ceasing all the time. I can't do all the things God's calling me to do without his power. And his power is in the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit comes when you're praying. That's who you're talking to. You're inviting God into a conversation. You're inviting God into your life when you pray. And when you pray without ceasing, it's constant. It's not saying that you have to walk up and down the streets and just talk out loud. You can, as I think it was Nathan last week, joked around, like, you just pretend you have a phone and pray, and which is totally fine. But I pray constantly. When I'm at work and I'm getting really upset about really stupid things, I stop and go, okay, I need to pray about this. I need to pray about this spreadsheet. I need to pray about this phone call I have to make. I have to pray that the CTA train's going to come on time so I can get to the meeting on time. I'm praying constantly. I'm asking God constantly. And then I'm not just like, help me, help me, help me. It's also, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's also prayer. It's not just asking for help. It's having a conversation with God. It's thanking him. And I don't know about you, but any relationship you're in, don't you want the person to talk to you? I mean, I know sometimes I get really introverted and I do want to hide away and have no one talk to me. But I don't want that all the time. And honestly, it's like, don't talk to me, but can you talk to me? Don't talk to me. Can you? Okay, say hello. Let me know that I exist. Sometimes I think with God, like obviously he knows he exists. But sometimes do you know he exists? Talk to him. Let yourself know that God's present, that God exists. Let that be a reminder. As a church, we are going on 6 or 7 years, depending on how you do the math. We'll talk about that later. And we have really lived out this value of prayer. I see it in how we pray over Sundays, how we just wrap Sundays in prayer, not just on Sunday, but we're praying all throughout the week for Sunday. We pray Monday night on leadership night. We're praying throughout their Bible studies on Wednesday and Thursday. We're praying during youth group on Friday when the men meet, when the women meet. We are praying. We are a praying church. And I see how God has completely blessed us. Because honestly, we shouldn't be around anymore. Like, I'm just like, how is this little tiny church plant still here? God. Yep. It's literally God. And it's amazing for me to see, like, how much love and how much all these values we've talked about and we're going to talk about have shown up in our church. And all of that is through our obedience of prayer, our willingness to stay in and just ask God for help. Because he's generous. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for being generous. So why do we pray? Why do we depend on him for everything? We can't do the mission. We can't do what God's called us to do. And we can't do the second part. So if you can put the value back up for prayer, the second part of that is we strive to fully submit and rely on the Holy Spirit through prayer to guide, heal, unify, and transform the church and our lives for God's glory. That's a big thing. That's a big ask. We have to pray because there's no way at all that we could guide anything, that we could heal anything, that anything can be transformed, that anything can be unified if the Holy Spirit's not involved. It's impossible. And what I also love about this is transform the church. It's big C. This is not just real church we're talking about. This is God's kingdom. This is the universal church. This is God. So we're not just saying we're only going to do this for real church, because we understand as a church, we are all connected. We are the body of Christ, and we are connected to other churches. So as we do this, as we do what we're called to do, other churches will be blessed by it, just like we are blessed by what other churches are doing, because that's how God works. God doesn't waste anything. He is like, I'm blessing myself, and I'm using my sons and daughters all throughout this world to worship me. Over and over again this week, God has kept telling me, I demand to be worshiped and I will be worshiped. And I was like, you're right. And all you have to do, God, is just tell me how to worship you. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to run around circles and try to please you. Most of the time, God's just sit with me. That's how you worship me. Pay attention to what I'm doing. That's how you worship me. And how amazing is that, that we even get to just worship him? That we were made to worship him, and he allows us to do the thing that we were made to do, which is just worship him. And it's not a big ask. It's, in the long scheme of things, it's not a big ask. So prayer can do a lot. And I don't know what God's going to do in the next 5 years. No idea. I just know it's going to be good. And it's going to be amazing to watch, and it's going to bring him glory. So I'm also grabbing from James 5:16. It's one of also the verses for our statement that backs up our statement. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Confession and prayer can heal. I think that's amazing. It's so simple. And I just look over it a lot of the times. And then I stop and realize, no, it can heal. It can transform. And it's not me. I'm not doing anything. Again, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit healing through you. You get to be a part of that. We have an opportunity to participate in God's kingdom through prayer, through conversation, through talking. I just find that amazing. So I'm going to give you an example of my week, how I had a plan. My life is going to go this way. I'm a planner. And God's just like, no, 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 no. So Tuesdays for me are the worst. I've tried to figure out why I don't like Tuesdays, but every Tuesday comes around and I'm like, this day's the worst day. And I've tried to like rethink it like a self-fulfilling prophecy where I'm like, no, Tuesdays are the best. And then I come in with a good attitude and then I get like slapped in the face by Tuesday and I'm like, all right, Tuesdays are the worst. I was gullible. I tried to lie to myself. So this week was a Tuesday. Like the entire week for the most part was a Tuesday. And I was getting so angry at work. I was getting so stressed out. I was working on part of my job as I'm a designer and I'm laying out this journal and nothing's going right. The program keeps crashing. I make the changes. The editor's like, I don't like it. And then I'm like, I don't care anymore. I quit. Like in my head, I'd tell her that. But I realize, wow, I really hit a wall that I'm threatening to quit over somebody asking for me to change an indent. Like, who am I? What's happening? So I walked away and I went to go get coffee. I'm like, I need to go take a walk. I need to drink some coffee, get away. And my coworker's with me and I'm telling her like, oh, I'm so angry, blah, blah, blah. Just ranting. And she's like, this is not like you. Like, are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm not okay. And then she's like, all right, well, sending good vibes. And she like walked away. And I'm like, good vibes? Like, what does that mean? So I get back to my office and I sit down. I'm like, grumble, grumble, grumble. I'm so upset. And then God's like, Tani, what are you teaching on this week? I'm like, prayer. And he's like, so you want to pray about it? Oh yeah, I should practice what I'm gonna preach. Like literally, all right, let me pray about this, Lord. And so I sat there in my office, closed the door, and was just talking to God. Like, why am I feeling this way? Like, why do I have all these feelings? Why am I so angry? And he was just talking me through it. And I had to be real with myself. I had to really understand what was going on in my heart. Why was I reacting this way? Because this is not like me. This is not loving at all. And I really had to go through it. And then the next day, I show up, and I have to have this meeting with the editor. And I was like, okay, Lord, please just help me to be generous. Like, I'm praying, let me be loving. And so we're talking, and she's complimenting me, like, saying how great I am, and, like, you're just so patient with me, and all of this. And I'm like, that came out of me? I did not know that. And God's like, yeah, I did that. I did. You had nothing to do with that. She received patience and love from me, not actually from you. She thinks it's you because you're my daughter, but it's me. And I was like, you're right. Lord, thank you for that mercy and help me to continue to live that out and to be more gracious and to be more loving. And all week, it's just been in prayer. All week, I've just been continually praying, and it's been so good. And the reason why I bring all of that up is being real with self is so important in prayer. Mm-hmm. There is so much in us that sometimes you just got to vomit it out. And that's good. God can handle it. God can handle your grossness. And God already knows it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just you figuring out what it is for you to actually have a capacity to receive him. You got to get all that out so that you can receive more of his spirit. And another reason why I bring this up is, as I said earlier, you can pray about everything. It doesn't need to be something holy It doesn't need to be only about salvation. It doesn't need to be only about healing. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. Pray over your bills. Pray over your children. Pray over your neighbor. Pray about every conversation you're going to have. It's amazing what God does when you invite him into a situation. He glorifies himself, and he heals, and he transforms, and he unifies, and he guides his kingdom. He's doing the work. All you have to do is just submit and respond to him. So verse Philippians 4:6 is pretty much what I lived out this week. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We get to make our requests known to God. I ask that you just meditate on that this week. That you can even go to God and make your requests known. That he's actually inviting you into a relationship with him. That because of Jesus, we can actually pray with God. We can actually call him Father. We can actually say all the things. And I mean, this week I felt like I was just sinning all over the place. And God's like, I love you. It's covered. You're mine. And probably in the grand scheme of things, my level of sin is like, I don't know. Like sometimes I'm like, I'm the worst person. And God's like, you are bad. You are bad. But I'm good. Don't compare yourself. Just don't. Just compare. Don't compare. I'm me. I've got you covered. Live in that grace. So friends, this week while you're going through the week and really rest of your lives, I recommend just praying. What is something in your life that needs healing? What do you need to confess? What do you feel like isn't unified in your life? Like, is your marriage, do you feel separate from your husband or your wife? Pray with them. It can unify. It can heal. If you start to see moments where you had a week like a Tuesday where you're just angry, ask God, God, why am I angry? He'll give you the answer. You may not want to hear the answer because it will humble you. It humbled me, but it's good. And he blesses you for it, and it's worth it because you, at the end of it, you realize how much God loves you. Because the whole week, I'm trying to push him away because I'm like, you don't need to see this ugliness. You don't need to see this ugliness. And God's like, I see it, and I love you, and I chose you, and you're mine. So come here and give me all that ugliness. I'm big enough to take it, and I'm big enough to clean it and to heal it and to remove it forever. Praise God. All right, I probably should have done this in the beginning, but what's prayer? one of this descriptions is prayer is a word that describes a relationship. That is one of my favorite definitions of prayer. It's a relationship. You're not talking to the void. Sometimes you're not even just talking. Most of the time, you're listening. You're listening to God. You're having a conversation. You're building a relationship with God through prayer. And there are many types of prayers, and there are many different disciplines of prayers. And God was really like, this is not the sermon to go into this. This is high level. Stay up here, Tawny. Even though I love to go down here, he's like, stay up here. So what I suggest is ask one another how you pray. This week, ask your friend, ask your spouse, ask your kids, how do you pray? You'll be amazed to hear all the different answers. Because God has unique relationships with all of us. And so for some people, pray out loud. For some people, it's quiet. They do not pray out loud. That doesn't mean it's good or bad. It means it's just different. Because every relationship is different. Just like every marriage in this church is very different from each other. There's no one marriage that's like, oh yeah, they're just like that marriage. No. Relationships are so different. The dynamics are so different. And I also encourage you not to try to be like somebody else. Ask God, how do you want me to pray? maybe it's for a season, you're praying in silence. Maybe for another season, it's different. But continually ask God, how do you want to have a relationship? What is it like, determine the relationship? Like, how do you continually determine this relationship with God? Like, are we in it? Are we full time? Like, because I can tell you for some of us, it was, yeah, I'm with you, but you weren't monogamous. You know, like you were actually worshiping other things. You were actually spending time with something else. And it gets to a point where God's like, it's me. We need to determine this relationship. Are you in? Are you willing to be with me only? And some of us aren't there and we're not ready to say yes. And that's okay. Thankfully, God's very patient. But it's so good when you can say, yes, I'm in it with you. We're determined this relationship. You already knew, God, that this was the relationship was going to be, but I finally realized what I'm in, and it's for life, and it's actually for eternity, which is really cool. So I'm going to give you 6 points about why we pray at Real Church. If you're taking notes, this is the time to take notes. We pray because we can admit we do not know what we are doing. Thank you. Anyone else can admit that? Yes. We have no idea what we are doing. And it's so good that we have a God who knows what he is doing and that we can just keep asking him, Lord, what am I doing? What do you want me to do? I had this memory this week with my dad. Years ago when I was a teenager, we had this guest bathroom that my parents said I could redesign and redecorate. And I like interior design. So I was like, yes, I'm so excited. So I went to Target and I bought this like cupboard shelving unit thing. And it was one of those you had to put together, which was not a wise decision. But I still haven't learned that lesson. I still buy IKEA furniture. It's a horrible mess. So what should take like 2 hours in IKEA time takes me like 7 hours in IKEA time. So I have this memory where I'm in the garage and I'm crying. I think I've spent 4 hours on this like shelving unit and I broke it. And it's completely broken and I think I just lost it and I was like kicking it and just like, you're the worst. And my dad comes out and he's standing there watching me. And my dad, who is nicknamed Bob the Builder, his name is Bob, and he's a construction worker. He's a private contractor. He's had his, like, own business for, all, you know, most of my life. He knows how to build things. And so he comes and he's watching me, and he's like, why didn't you ask me for help? And as a kid, I was like, well, I thought I could do it. And he's like, obviously you can't. He's like, I could have, he's like, I could teach you how to do it. I could stand here and tell you how to do this. I could be with you in this, but you broke it. And I think about that with God all the time, is that God's asked me to do something, and then I'll try to do it myself, and then I break it. Thankfully, God has the power to heal it. My dad did not have the power to heal that. He was just like, you broke it, like, and it's your money, so, oh well, like, he just left. It was a good hard lesson to learn. I wish I would have learned not to buy furniture that's to be built, but whatever, it's fine. So that's what I'm encouraging for us is with God is to ask him for help because he has the power to heal things, even when we break it. Continually ask him for help because he knows what he's doing and we don't know what we're doing. Number two, we pray because God has told us to pray. Quite simply, if you read throughout scripture, he's telling us to pray constantly. And what I love about that is he's calling us into relationship with him. He's not telling us to pray to completely deny ourselves and to destroy you and to make you do something you don't want to do. And some of it, that is true. But it's what's amazing is that you can actually be yourself in this relationship with God and sin and all. In the presence of God, that he's bigger than that, that he loves you more than the sin that's in you. And he has the power to heal that sin. Jesus covers that sin. It's gone. And we can actually live in freedom that sin doesn't need to be there anymore. Woo, exactly, Heather, woo. Number three, prayer connects us to God. Just like any relationship, you have to talk to the person. You have to talk to them. And if you want to know God, spend time with him. And if you want to know yourself, spend time with him. It's amazing how much you learn about yourself when you spend time with God. And it's amazing how much he reveals himself to you. And it's constant where the more you know him, the more you fall in love with him, the more you want to spend time with him. Just like any relationship you're in, when you first meet someone, you're like, oh, they're pretty interesting. I want to spend some time with them. And then the more you spend time with them, the more you love them, the more that you learn about them. And you learn about yourself, like, oh, man, I'm a very selfish person. I don't want to spend my time with him. But I do, but I don't. It's my time, you know? But it's so good because God's like, I'm patient. I'm here. I'm constant. So you can have that moment where you run and hide. I'm still here. I still love you. All you have to do is pray. Number four, prayer changes us internally first. I think if you picked this up by now, this is a big theme, is you're learning about yourself, and God loves you, and there is so much, man, he can completely transform you, but it's still you. There's some people have this fear that, well, I don't want to become a follower of God because I want to be myself, and this is who I am, and I don't want to change. And I know people like that, and that's okay, because I have lots of areas in my life where I'm like, I don't want to change. I like that part about me. And sometimes God's like, that part, you don't need to change. That part is holy. I've made that holy. That is good. I've already deemed that okay. But there's this part of you that is destroying you. It's destroying your marriage. It's destroying your family. That needs to change. And sometimes that's hard because that's the area that's like the crutch. That's the area that you don't want anyone to touch, that you pretend doesn't exist. And what's great is God's so gentle, and in prayer, he slowly reveals that. For some, if you're the personality that just needs to be hit over the head, he's going to hit you over the head. Thank God for that. Again, he knows you. He knows how best to love you. Point number five. Prayer centers our soul and allows us to listen to God speak. Have you been around that person who you know when you are talking, they're actually not listening to you? They're thinking about the next thing they're going to say. Thank you, Nina. Don't be that person. That frustrates you. Why would you do that to God? When God's talking, actually listen. Don't think about the things that you need to say to him. Don't think about all the ways that you're horrible or all the ways that you're great. Actually just sit with him and listen and be in relationship with him. Number six, prayer asks God to extend his power through the Holy Spirit. That's what prayer is. It's asking for more of the Holy Spirit. It's asking, man, the Holy Spirit to move. Maybe how he moves is through healing this church. Maybe it's through guiding this group of stubborn yet talented group of people. Maybe it's unifying the rebels. Maybe it's transforming the dead to life. It's probably all of it. And that's what we're doing when we're praying, is we're asking God to show up and do what he's going to do. Prayer reminds us that we serve a God who is big and powerful enough to create and sustain the universe, and good enough to sit with us in our individual pains. That is the God we serve. So I'm going to ask for the worship to come up. I'm going to go over our application. So our application is, prayer to a true follower of Christ is as essential as air and water are to living beings. For some, that's not true, but I pray that eventually you'll get there, that you can't go a minute without praying and being in relationship with God. It makes us humble ourselves and admit our need. That's what prayer does. So friends, confess you need God's help this week. So I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to practice what I just preached. So, Father, Lord, thank you, God, so much for your love. God, thank you so much that you are here, that your presence is here, and you want to be worshiped, that you invite us to worship you. You invite us to relationship with you, Lord. God, I pray for this church. Lord, I pray that we will be unified, that we will be guided by you, that we will be healed, and that we will be transformed, Lord, not just for real church, but for your kingdom and for your glory. It's in your Son's precious name. Amen.